And a one, and a two, and welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 110. I actually checked this time. Spotlight on DC Comics Final Crisis, part 3. I am Chris Mosby.
I'm Cale Gerard.
I'm Murray Fox.
What was that, Murray? What was that noise just now?
Oh. I don't know, my nose, my throat. Oh, it's like it's hay fever season or end of summer season. And okay. Anyway, I'll be sniffling through.
All right.
Just won't be dropping any of the shingle scabs all over you.
Yeah, I saw that. That was a very unfortunate picture you posted.
I know. I like to post those pictures to keep you all in my little circle.
Oh, that's just lovely.
I like to share.
So it did turn out to be shingles?
Yes. Stupid freaking.
Yeah, my wife who just walked in the room, she dealt with those a couple months ago, and she could you and she could trade war stories for an hour, I'm sure. So
it's like totally mild, like a really, really mild version, so like I'm super lucky, but the doctor that diagnosed it as just some sort of nothing was a doofus.
Okay.
Because I took I walked into the skin doctor's office and he looked at me for like a second and he was like, "Hey, you got that on the long weekend? You got herpes." I'm like, "What the heck?" And he's like, "And by herpes, I mean shingles." Yeah, we were laughing lots.
Murray contemplates his promise of non-violence.
I know. I had to go through my long weekend sex list. Nobody on Friday. Nobody on Saturday. Nobody on Sunday. Nobody on Monday. Just what are you saying here, kiddo?
That's funny. It's like the last time I took my
immaculate herpes.
I had to take my dad to the emergency room one time around last Thanksgiving because of he was having trouble breathing and. The ER doc comes in. "Well, I got bad news. You're pregnant." And that shit ain't funny, man. The guy's laying. Dad can barely get a breath in. And anyway, yeah, that's a bedside manner fail.
All right, then. I was, anyway.
All right.
That's where their tip goes down like that.
So yeah, in case you didn't know, we got Caleb and Murray on the call as well. I don't think you actually introduced yourself.
We did.
Okay.
I'm sure, we did.
Okay, that's fine.
We did.
All right. This episode.
Same for the asshole as always.
Is brought to you by the letters F and C, and the number 5.
Yes, it is. If brains hold out, possibly 6, but we'll see.
Yeah. I was right before on the pre-show, I was saying that I reread this again right before. I just finished it right before we started, and number 5, that is. And this was actually a lot better than I remember. I'm actually contemplating buying the trade of this, and it scares me.
Good on you. I don't remember any of number 5. Like, it's
I didn't either. I'm like, whoa, where did this come from? Mm-hmm. You know?
As I said in the earlier ones, I don't remember them either. This is all brand new. But I will also say that last night I had 2 very big margaritas and it was late when I read number 5. So perhaps my point of view is skewed.
Okay, let's see. Let's get in here. Who wants to go? I think Murray, you did it last time. I can do it.
Yeah. Cool.
I just want to comment on the covers real quickly.
Yeah.
The order that I'm looking at them is the one with the stripe down the middle. You know, the picture in the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
And it has Crazy Mary Marvel and Supergirl on it. Mm-hmm. And boy, Mary Marvel is stacked.
Yes. Yeah, I'm surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if there's some very naughty fan fiction evolving around that very picture.
And then of course the J.G. Jones Wonder Woman cover is tremendous.
Yeah, that's the one I've got. For the last 3 issues, I've got Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman, and they are both really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think some of these I might have had both. Oh man, it's hit puberty again. Pardon me.
When it's time to change.
I think I had some of these. I had both ended up with both covers on.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on with me. Like, normally my OCD-ish would be like, no, I've got to get just the red stripe covers, or I've got to get just the base covers, and then something inside me broke, and I mixed it up. So I've got four stripes and three...
I'll have to look those up today. I have not opened the long box in so long that it must happen today. It just must. First, I must clear a path to them.
Well, if Alex Ross ever decides to retire, Jones could take over that
cover market. Yeah, as long as they give him 2 or 3 years of lead time.
He could do a cover. He could do a cover.
I did read it's either before or after or during last episode. I read something about him actually JG Jones admitting that he dropped the ball, but what he did to drop the ball, I don't recall them actually saying so.
His balls dropped? What?
Dropping the ball on the art on the series. Okay. Yeah, totally different thought there.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into this little sucker. And I am bombarded one of the copies I'm looking at of Online Origin, not from Comixology, has the ads actually in it. And I'm bombarded with a picture of Twilight due in theaters on 11/12/2008. So that's a terrible way to start this off, but here we go. The first panel, you see the trial.
Chris,
what?
You can live forever. When you can live forever, what do you live for?
I really don't know. I'm thinking as many comics as you can get your hands on, but that's just me.
That would have changed the whole Twilight series.
I think it would have been a lot better, I assure you. I've never watched it, so I really can't say.
They could have dispatched with the wooden face Kristen what's-her-name and just replaced her with a bunch of comics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be great. Okay, here we go. The Trial of Hal Jordan is our first panel. And you see, you got the Guardian standing there and some... guy with a bunch of tentacles, who's apparently the DA, and they are claiming that he is the one that has a hostile parasite in him. But we all know that it's actually the Alpha Lantern Kraken is the one that has it, because we've seen that. And in the annotations, it actually lists everybody's name here. Let's see, we got... floating blue dwarfs... Alpha Lantern Boudica. You have Melum Desm, Jury of Lanterns. You got Venise Apro Gihu, Bottom Row, maybe Sodom Yat, Tommy Faye, hell with it. I can't even pronounce those. Anyway, Desm is the actual prosecutor, and he's talking about. By order of the Book of Orta, all Alpha Lantern's judgment is said to be infallible. She's the one that says he's got a host. And I like this little thing he says. Hal Jordan says, there's no such thing, and thing is emphasized as infallibility in this universe, Maledasm. I'd have noticed. I thought that was an interesting little comment he made.
Yeah, totally.
Is this overkill how much they have him chained up?
Think so, yeah. And he doesn't even have a ring. They've got his ring, so... Yeah, it's a little bit. Just a little. So then she's...
Is that Chip on that first panel on the bottom right? Is that with the mustache?
No, that is not. I believe, according to this, the very last character is called Skirl. S-K-I-R-L. So,
or Squirrel?
Yeah, maybe it is.
Oh,
his chip is an actual chipmunk.
So it's the chip filling. Okay.
Yeah, the squirrel Green Lanterns must be from the neighboring planet of Nutta to Chip or Chipless. Shut the hell up.
It's seriously called Nutta.
No, I'm making that shit up completely. But I had you for a second though.
Totally. That would be awesome.
Yeah, so, anyway, yeah, we'll write that down. Next Green Lantern series. Okay.
Acorn City, capital.
Yeah, the capital city will be called Walnut. All right, and you got your the Blue Boys are talking. Back when it was all men's club, before certain things, you know. Well, it's a long story. It was after Infinite Crisis, I think, is when they did that, and before Hal. Well, I don't know. Actually, I thought Hal brought. Never mind. We'll get into that right now. She starts talking about the Alpha Lantern. Starts talking about the scar that he has, and says that observe the scar on his head where the God of Orion struck in his death throes. And I submit that this Jordan, once so easily possessed by Parallax, plays host god to a murderous god of apocalypse. And then she pontificates that no lantern escapes the Alpha Lanterns. Now, in the Final Crisis annotated site that we're looking at, he mentions that there is no actual scar on his forehead, and it's apparently the artists, plural, keep putting it in there and forgetting to put it in there back and forth. And he makes a comment about you can bet that it's going to be there, you know, and probably in the next panel or so. So anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting.
He was supposed to be Harry Potter, and they just forgot. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. That's what he's saying. Yeah. So. Yeah. He says, yeah. He refers to the gun again there against Scar that has or has not been shown on Jordan's forehead. I dare say it'll be put in the series when the series is collected. I would assume so. Then you get a big flash of light, and Guy Gardner and Kyle Rayner show up, and they're like, they couldn't get to Earth. There's a big thing. And
yeah, they closed it off, the Green Lanterns.
Yeah, and well, I think there's other stuff going on, too, they're saying about a big gravity well. And then so Kyle mentions that we think the scar on Hal Jordan's head is hiding an implant, prosecutor, a suppressor field chip. That's why she's been staying close to him. She put it there while he was unconscious, and it's hiding her from detection. And so they say, hey, she's the one hosting one of the gods of apocalypse. She tried to murder Jon Stewart, and we ain't having it. That's Guy Gardner. You know how he is. He's always, you know, gruff and, you know. I think he's raging. He's in anger management right now. I'm not really sure. So she vehemently refuses it. It's those Earthers, and back in the background you see Hal has a nice little smirk on his face, and then
yeah, like just touch, just
yeah, it's just
what happened. Thank you.
Yeah, very very subtle there. And then you know next panel they're going, the Guardians are going, Alpha and Alpha cannot be compromised. That was the very point of their creation, infallible. And she's like, what can I say? And then she basically is like, yeah, actually, yeah, I do have this in there. And it was folly to underestimate the power of Darkseid and how easy it was for a god to hollow out a living mind in the bleeding shell. And the next thing you know, she's attacking with, I don't know, regular bloodworms, attacking the other lanterns and stuff. And she throws one of them on the battery, one of the lanterns on the battery, I guess. They really can't tell who that is, but whatever happened, they're a skeleton. Maybe it's her. I don't know. Maybe they blasted her.
Now, is it me, or did this just shift incredibly quickly? One minute she's saying, hey, it ain't me, and then the next panel, yeah, it's me.
Yeah, it doesn't really make much sense, but she's just like, oh, yeah, and then she just starts whooping butt.
Well, it was quick, but I mean the whole series has been quick, you know, like it's moving along. There's not, he's jumping from scene to scene really quickly, and I guess even within scenes he's jumping quickly, so I'm guessing she just realized, jig's up, no point in trying to. And I guess it looked to me like the point for her was to get close to the big power battery, so since she's there anyway, there didn't seem to be any point in continuing the charade any longer. At least that's how I read it, and that's what I brought to it. But it's not really
from the script. No, I did too. It just it doesn't seem to be any build up to it. It's just you know what? Forget it.
Yeah, she might have planned on, you know, holding the ruse up more, but you know, the guy had showed up and it's like, if it. I think that's her getting blasted. I really can't tell. Yeah, it is. And she's laying there, and then she starts attacking, and actually her worm constructs wounds a guardian.
Oh, because that's her falling. That's her falling on the ground in the first panel on the next page.
Yeah. They blast her, and she slams right up against the battery, which I think is funny because the first thing they said is protect the battery at all costs. It must not be corrupted. And then what do? They blast her and make her smack right dab into it. So she's there and she's, you know, got her face off because those Alpha Lanterns have like a flip up face to when they get into their badass mode because they're mostly organic technology, I do believe. So she's talking about being Darkseid's favorite again. She's wanting to, you know. She's trying to lift the battery, or maybe it's not, it's just floating, but she's trying to hit the battery. And one of the guardians gets hurt, and they go, so we gave her the power to drain the rings, and one of them says, initiate the Corona protocol before it's too late. And, you know, Legion fans, DC fans will know that Corona
is a great drink.
Yes, Corona is a callback to... actually, Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Corona's been part of the Green Lantern mythos for probably since Gil Kane was drawing it back in
the 70s, 60s. During Crisis on Infinite Earths, they wrote in he was the one that he tried to look at the beginning of the universe and cause the cataclysm that causes the multiverse and. Eventually, the Guardians trying to make up for their mistakes and yada, yada, yada. So Hal shows up. She's trying to do her thing to the Lantern, and he smacks her around. It's like, you know, your rings can only work if you think. The other Alpha Lanterns show up. And they're like, hey, dude, what's up? Stop that. And then the Guardian's like, look. An Alpha Immortal's been injured, and they just like poof, they're gone. Because that's apparently what the Corona protocol is. Gardner says, "Come DEFCON 1, when the battery itself is up against an ultimate threat, they can hide it until the all clear." He's explaining that to Kyle. So I think it's Salak is his name. Can see if get her in a side cell and sedate her. See if we can confirm the specific God consciousness she's harboring. Al tells them it's called Granny Goodness, and you can strike and quote unquote infallible from the rule book.
At the top, the first panel on that page, doesn't it look like he's already wearing a ring? The top right hand panel.
He was kind of flying. Yeah, it does look like there's energy around his fist, but it might. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I think that's a little art roughage there for lack of a better term. And it, you know, and the reason he brings that up, cause they make a big deal of a whole like entire panel of Hal getting his ring back.
Right.
But yeah, it looked like he was flying when he, you know, unless he jumped up from somewhere high onto Kraken.
Yeah. He's jumping up high and he's smacking the green out of her.
Yeah. And
release the Kraken.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing.
Ah.
But anyway, Kyle's explaining to him, and I love this little thing, little annotation that they put, we'll get to that. But Reiner explains how it's hardcore. Space time around the Earth just crumpled like it was crushed in a fist. Weeks smash into days, and the guy that does annotation, he makes a comment that either explains away any continuing glitches. Final Crisis and its tie-ins have suffered, or the delay in the shipping times. So anyway, they're talking. They wouldn't know what have hit them. The Guardians are like the destructive emanations of Darkseid, you know, hey, they're new gods, yada, yada, yada. And one of the other Alpha Lanterns is like, hey, wait a minute. There's a ground zero of a doomsday similarity around Earth. And, you know, guy's all about, I told you so. Speaking of which, I was watching Brave and the Bold cartoons that I haven't seen, and they actually somewhat replayed Batman punching guy in the face and knocking him out with one punch. It was hilarious. Except for it was Nort was the one that was there instead of Black Canary, and he was like, one punch! This is great! Anyway. So, they get all that explanation, how it gets his ring back, and he's saying, let's go kick some ass. And the Guardians say, you're cleared of all charges. You have 24 hours to save the universe, Jordan, which the guy that does annotations, he's like, not sure what the deal is about the 24 hours, but he's thinking he might have, referring to the 24-hour ring charge, and once he gets to Earth, he might not be able to.
That's how I took it. I took it that since the Guardians had hidden away the main power battery, that the ring they've given Hal is good for 24 hours like usual, but
yeah, I forgot about the
afterwards
battery being
not going to have a battery to do so.
You know, coming up on this next section, I forgot how much I enjoyed the Checkmate series until we see this little stuff going on here in the next couple of things. You see Renee Montoya is hanging out with the Black King and Queen from Checkmate, which is Amanda Waller and that Salid guy, which I think, I don't know if that character was ever around before Checkmate, but Rucka did a great deal in that series. I think I got maybe one trade, but that was a really good series. Some more of that will play out in a bit. Let's see, where was I? Checkmate Castle.
A little nod to her lesbianism.
Yeah, she makes a comment about the German Supergirl is almost cute until I got to the swastika armband. And Amanda Waller grunts under her breath. She actually thought that was somewhat funny. And
in the dark, you're not going to see the armband.
This is true.
Oh,
man. We're going blue already here? Man. And Checkmate, Checkmate Castle, the question is talking to Taleb Beni Khalid, and now that I think about that, that might be the head of the world's army in Earth 2.
Yeah, now this guy's been around a long time, and yeah, James Robinson did in fact borrow him.
That just hit me.
That's cool.
Yeah, I don't remember this character, but if you say so.
Yeah, he threw a turban on him, but or whoever was the artist. Who's the artist on Earth 2? What was her name?
Nicholas Scott.
Thank you. Anyhow. He's a rightful creation, but
I think he is too.
So, okay.
I was trying. I did a quick search, but there's just too much to read through, so I'll continue where I was at.
I love this. I did this panel down at the bottom. That Kirby. I remember that this weird freaking OMAC thing.
Yeah, those. I think there were, like, women or something, weren't they, in the original, that picture that they're showing there?
Yeah, they did have women there, for sure.
I'm trying to think. They call them Kit Super Soldiers, and clearly based on the original OMAC and other Kirby creation, like the new guys themselves. So they're talking to her. It's like, hey, you know, she's kind of – Renee's kind of surprised about all this super soldier stuff that they got going on. And apparently they are super soldiers with a 7-day lifespan, Generation Zero Biomax. And he's telling her that Checkmate was created as the last move in the human game. I remember that being a big deal, that they were there to, you know. Yeah, so the Wall is telling her, or Amanda Waller, for those that don't know what I'm talking about, do we look like the sort of people who wouldn't have a plan for the day the superheroes failed to save us? Now we want you to be part of it, Renee. And they're getting their spiel.
And, you know, based on this, how Amanda Waller used to be, I mean, Angela Bassett was, like, so wrong to be cast as her.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I was reading that they're possibly going to be in the Arrow series show up in the Arrow series, and or yeah, that's what I think I read that.
That's a good place for
them. Yeah, I think so too.
Mm-hmm. And Oprah Winfrey's in talks to player. I'm
that
kidding.
Would be funny. I know.
Oprah Winfrey, the 80s.
So. And there's another note here that when they're talking that this obviously takes place sometime after Final Crisis Revelations, where at the time of that writing, the Question is still facing off against Vandal Savage. That was actually a very good little – I think that was a one-shot. Might have been a series.
It was a four-parter. I think it was Brucknet even was the
– Yeah, and it brought in the whole crime Bible thing, which I loved those – when they did those stories about that. That was always really cool.
Philip Tan.
On to the next thing, and it shows you're at the more than likely at the bunker in Bloodhaven, and I love this little joke that the website that we're using here. It says page 8, panel 1, cats on dogs. It really is the end of the world, because you see humanoid tigers riding giant dogs. So that's what he's talking about, which I agree, that is somewhat funny. Let's see, where was I? Yeah, and they're the new female Furies. You see the back of Wonder Woman, like she'd had bad night with Superman, or, you know, the safe word wasn't used, or that, she, you know, somebody else whipped her. Sorry, that was a bad joke. Anyway, they've been transferred into female Furies, and you see Wonder Woman, Batwoman, and Catwoman, who is sitting down. And then you see you got a bunch of Darkseid minions. They're like, hey, you know, basically, well, from what we've seen before, human body can't handle one of those gods. Oh, we got an echo. Handle one of those gods' essence in them for very long before the body burns up, which is why they were in such a rush to get him in Interpret's body with their whatever they did to augment it where it would actually hold it. And you can see they are, it's like you got the Simeon and Reverend G. Godfrey Good, which is also Glorious Godfrey and Makari, and they're all, you know, having a hard time talking and, you know, everything. And you see another scene of the Furies getting ready. And we see that red face with the tusk is actually a mask because she's Wonder Woman's holding it there.
Did we never see her face?
Yeah. I thought that was interesting. And they're all kneeling before, not Zod, unfortunately, this time, but they're, you know... They're kneeling before Darkseid, and he's talking about how you've accomplished my will, and my plague, goddess, my Furies, my rabid angel, and that referencing the fact that Mary Marvel infected Wonder Woman with the anti-life, so she's been carrying around infecting people. And then you see Giganta in the background all scrunched down. All big all the time.
Now they're actually supposed to be four of the original female Furies. She's Stampa. Catwoman is Lashina.
Batwoman's got pistols, so it was like Pistolera, or wasn't that one of them?
Yeah. And then I don't remember who Wonder Woman's supposed to be, but they're all supposed to actually represent, just like all these other characters that pop up saying, hey, I'm Granny Goodness, or I'm Darkseid, or whatever they are.
Yeah, okay, now you're going to have me make that look that up real quick.
Anyhow, sorry.
Anyway, no, that's good. Female Furies, one second. Never mind, I got a bunch of them on Wikipedia. So anyway, they're showing I'm getting ready to do some ass-whooping. And then we cut to Checkmate Castle in Switzerland, which is still under siege, as was shown in the previous issue. And then you see a casualty of the New 52 universe, Tempest, which was the adult moniker of Aqualad, and he's got some kind of sorcerer's powers. I forget what the deal was with that, but that's who that is. And Hot Girl is a flame, and he's trying to put the flame out. And she's saying, hey, leave me alone. Don't worry about me. They got Alan. You got to go help Alan. And they're trying to put a helmet on him. And you see another casualty of the New 52 universe, Donna Troy, with a helmet in her hand, trying to put
that
it on there.
Poor kid cannot catch a break.
No, I know it, man. They gotta justify her helmet for him. And just in the nick of time, you see the Calvers show up. We see a punkified Black Condor, the Bulleteer, Blue Beetle, of course, Hawkman, a very well, lot better written Hawkman than it's currently. You see Starman when he was in 20th Century. I believe her name was Cyclone. Yeah, the one of my favorite incarnations of the JSA that Johns did back there for a while. And, of course, Stargirl over there in a corner, and they're kicking some butt at that point. And I do believe – oh, wait, Argent's down there in the bottom too.
Yeah, from the Team
Titans.
Was
that Argent? Okay, it's not Ice.
Yeah, I know. They kind of that's kind of a funky because that's what they looks like she's doing. Somebody forgot what her powers are because that looks like an Iceman move to me. And yeah. If I'm not mistaken, the one with the helmet that's getting his ass handed to him is Shade the Changing Man. Is that what that costume looks like?
Looks like the Shade costume. I don't know that we've seen him in the DC, but I mean it doesn't really matter because he's just there for a panel to get his head mushed in. So
and there's a.
You know what? They're
all
wearing.
Yeah. Comment.
He wasn't built like that either. His within the armbands.
I didn't think so. I thought he was kind of a small looking guy.
It looks like all the soldiers are wearing those kind of tunics with the circles on them. So.
It might just be a standard minion. Yeah, I see the one up in the upper, in between Cyclone and Stargirl has exactly the same look. So okay, scratch that. Scratch that. I was wrong. And there's a little note in an annotated page that the Bulleteer, by the way, was created by Grant Morrison as part of the Seven Soldiers story. And interviews given since, he stated that she cannot fly, so they screwed that up. She seems to be doing okay with the whole flight thing at the moment, though.
That's right, they just shot her out of a cannon or something.
Yeah, well, she is a bullet after all, so... anyway, so now something that was... left over from the end. We're back in the super young team is standing there and, Shiloh Norman, Miracle Man, new Miracle Man, he got shot. And I love this little, what's his super bat? Most excellent super bat. I might change my Facebook name to that. You have thoughtlessly gunned down a global megastar. How will you explain yourself to this man's fans? That sounds like something you'd hear today, actually. Yeah. He had a whole reality show set up on A&E. Now what's going to happen? They've already sold the DVDs for the first season. Anyway.
And they even had him change his skin tone for the show.
Yes.
Being a black man to a white man.
Exactly. So anyway, it's like, hey, let's chill out. Mr. Terrific, which is one of my favorite John, well, I don't know if it was just John's, but one of the new JSA creations there. I really like that character.
Ostrander and Mandrake from Spectre series.
Is that where that key came from?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to track that down. So anyway, there's some superhero posture.
Coming in trade paperback to you soon.
Oh, that's right. It seems like we read that, didn't we? Yes. Yes, as I was discussing on our Facebook page, that I'm contemplating filling up this entire basement full of bookshelves full of trades and hardcovers. It's just a beautiful thought. Let's see. So there's some posturing, a little bird chick, which they've got them all listed here again in this thing. The Shy Crazy Lolita Canary is her name. In a little schoolgirl outfit, like the Japanese love those little schoolgirl outfits. Not that I don't, but that's a whole nother podcast. you know, there's some, she smacks him with a sonic blast, and, you know, they're like, got guns on him, and they're trying to get this sorted out. The doctor's on the way for your friend, and he's like, how the heck did you find me? I'm invisible to machines. And Super Sumo guy, what's his name again?
Sunny Sumo.
Sunny Sumo.
So where does it, hold on, I want to step back to that panel. Why does Mr. Terrific even say that line? How did that thing know I'm here?
Well, I don't know. Maybe that's a little bit of...
It's like there's a missing panel or a missing word balloon or something.
Well, he's assuming they were looking for him, which I don't even know that if that was the case, because they haven't even had a chance to say anything. But, you know, the super bad at one point said, we came... Oh, no, I don't know if it was a super bad or not, but he had made... You know, they were saying, you shot Mr. Miracle. We came through space and time and everything to save you. So, I don't know. It doesn't make much sense. But
thank you.
why he said that and why he needed to tell them, I'm invisible to machines.
But the absolute best line of the whole book, if yes. God made iPods that were alive way beyond.
Yeah, that's I love that too. I read that, I'm like, that is a good line. And then there's a page for the updated and expanded DC Comics Encyclopedia, which the nephew fell asleep reading the other day, which came out the same time as Vertigo Encyclopedia. Anyway, back to the show. Norman is obviously not dead because he wakes up and he's like, a boom tube. She called it a boom tube. It dorked everywhere and it brought us here. And he's like, ow. And Sumo's saying, it's true, he can't be killed. And they're, you know, they're going, it's like, hey, I'm a super escape artist, remember? I'm wearing an impact proof vest anyway. So they continue and they're talking and, you know, he mentions he's the White King. No, nothing's going to happen like that again, as you have my word. Let me look at that box. And he's going, well, that box won't talk to you. She survived the cosmic war, but she's not alone. She says the time of change is here. Everyone has to choose sides. The fifth world is coming down hard. And that's a homage to what they called all of Kirby's creations of the new gods and all that stuff was the fourth world, I believe, right?
Yeah, and they've kind of been hinting that there's something new coming, but they haven't explicitly spelled it out, I don't think, before now. So there you go. Fourth world's dead. Fifth world's coming.
I remember them talking in the news that was, you know, what they were trying to do with it. And then you got some checkmate agents that are like, oh, my God, they're breaching through the defenses. Shields are only at 35%, Captain. And he's like, you forgot to, you know, you obviously got to stay clear of the anti-life equation. We'll take any help we got. And I like this little tidbit. He says, we made the castle a target to draw enemy fire, which they seem to be doing a really good job of. and they're trying to get our people in Bloodhaven a chance to cut this thing out at its root. And you heard them. Shields will fell in 15. I'm afraid you got here just in time for humanity's last stand. And then you got a... checkmate officer is like, oh, somebody checked that. But anyway. So the super young team's Shiloh's saying, listen to her. The war broke time and space. A fallen devil god is dragging us down with him into a deep, dark hole in time with no light, no hope, and no escape. That sounds like Patch Day, actually.
So that means Darkseid and Microsoft are intimately connected.
I would not be surprised.
And that would put Apple technology on the new God side with Isaiah and all the...
That's not a bad analogy, actually.
There you go.
So somewhat flawed, but still a good one.
And so what, Best Buy is the source wall?
Sure. That would make sense because you can get both there. We got a and then we got a shot of the, you know, the aforementioned really good sign of the apocalypse is humanoid tigers riding dogs. And I don't know what the white one's name is, but he's telling Kalibak, you know, all quiet, no smell. And he's saying they will come. And they're, you know, they're doing that rallying call thing, the newborn Tiger Clan, follow King Kalibak, and kill, 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 not ask. Typical, this sounds like the same kind of commentary you'd hear if you were sitting at a football game. And Kalibak will lead you to the slaughterhouse of men. Their soldiers come, and then you see this wonderful page, and you see this is a really good spread. I like this deal here. So, and according to this, from the left top, you got Captain Marvel, which is actually Freddie Freeman at this point, because somewhere after Infinite Crisis, Billy Batson became the new Wizard.
Yeah.
If you read the Trials of Shazam miniseries, you'd have saw that, which actually was really good, but it got really bad press because
it was really bad.
I thought it was good. The problem with it was that it took some time to come out because of Howard Porter's injury, which we discussed before. He hurt his hand. And it took forever.
Yeah.
Let's see. So up at the top, you got Black Adam. Apparently, Captain Marvel, or actually it is Captain. No, it's Shazam now. They don't call him Captain Marvel anymore. Talked him into joining. You see Stripe. You got Jon Stewart. You got Supergirl. And I'm kind of wondering why they added this one, but this is a character called Iman, which is I was reading this and wondered, so I did this research ahead of time just for fans. He's a character that was in one of when they were doing that Planet DC tie-in.
Set of annuals, right?
Yeah, the set of annuals, and they were going all over the world and seeing all these different heroes, and he was like a big fan of Superman, and so he. He's kind of like he was an astronaut, and while he was in space, his family was killed, and he built this suit to fight evil. That's just a quick rundown.
Is he Spanish?
Is he Spanish
throughout the issue? Okay.
Yeah. In fact, this annotation has got a translation from another blog, a Final Crisis Annotations blog. And so, bottom on motorcycles, you got Our Man is. Holding Liberty Bell in an appropriate place, but that's okay. It's his wife, so he can do that. They're on one motorcycle. And according to this, the robot with the helmet is called Jake 2 from the Creature Commandos.
Okay.
And, of course, you got Frankenstein, which is prominent in a lot of the Super Soldiers of Victory stuff that Grant Morrison did. And then on the other side of them, you see Red Arrow from the Justice League, and you see Wildcat One and his son, who can turn into a werecat, behind him. Who else we got? Mr. America on tank or car, and they say possibly major disaster. They're not really sure. I'm not really sure who that is either. They're all riding. There's your cavalry.
I figured that was Jack Knight, but of course that doesn't make sense. So
no, because she's Stargirl's got the rod, so it can't be.
Yeah. And he would be.
You know what I mean? The cosmic rod.
Oh.
Once again, the entirely different podcast.
Major Disaster was a Green Lantern villain, I think.
Yes, but he was on Justice League, that Justice League Elite. That thing that they did with all those quote unquote bad guys that they pulled together. You remember that? Had Doug Monkey art.
Didn't read it.
No, it was actually pretty good.
Okay.
Because Green Arrow and the Flash, they had like black costumes and they did clandestine things for the Justice League. But anyway, that Iron guy, he gets taken out pretty quick. He's getting smacked around. He says, Antilite makes it easy. I'm not sure what the first thing he said was, but according to this, in Spanish, he's saying, what hit me? These squiggly lines. My armor's useless, weighs a ton. What would Superman do? That's what the translation is saying.
He'd be speaking English in an English comic is what Superman would be doing. That's what he'd be doing.
Probably so, yes. Well, he would change his. Superman. Yeah, if it's an English comic, but if it was a Spanish comic, he would be speaking Spanish because he knows all those languages and everything.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
Then you see Frankenstein. He's quoting apparently Milton's Paradise Lost, according to this, which
I love. Yeah, I love that they got Frankenstein doing all these quotes. Like, it's the way that he tends to speak.
Yeah,
in this.
He's a monster, but he's very intelligent. I got that. I don't think that was that as much in the New 52, but I remember that from reading this. And he says, "Farewell, happy fields where joy forever dwells. Hail, horrors!" Which, once again, so, sounds like Patch Day. Green Lantern, Stuart is proceeding to Command D Station. We're aiming to bust that field, force field wide open.
Oh, yeah.
So, how are we doing on time there, gentlemen?
Yeah, we'll finish off this issue. We'll be fine.
Okay, according to... Yeah, we're 50 minutes in just now, including the 5 minutes before we started.
That no one will ever hear.
Exactly. we might release a extended director's edition at one point. I'm not sure. Anyway, in the background, you see Kalibak, not Takitani, as I was wrong.
Yeah, no, it's definitely Kalibak. Cause...
Yeah. On my command, in Darkseid's name, wait for the lightning to strike. And that is referencing, as I, you know, you see Supergirl streaking down from somewhere, which I'm not exactly sure, because she was flying with the rest of them just like 2 seconds ago.
Yeah, actually, a couple panels before, she was in that one with Jon Stewart. She's doing something.
Yeah, you can see her in the background. So maybe she flew up to come down and, like, hit the force field. I don't know. A little logistical problem. So we see Mary Marvel, the naughty Mary Marvel, with the large lightning bolt. Yeah, she's Supergirl's mind. She's Supergirl. She's mine. Apparently, she watched Little Nemo right before this fight, and Finding Nemo. Excuse me. Totally, I just screwed that joke up. Anyway, you see Black Adam coming around the cloud, and wham, hitting her from behind and knocking her down. And he starts smacking on her. And apparently she likes it, though, because she's saying, hit me again. And Freddy slash Captain Marvel, or excuse me, Shazam, he's like, you'll kill her. And he's saying, exactly, look at her. I saw a leering old man in her eyes. And then she picks up a SUV and smacks Black Adam up beside the head. As he's saying, she's possessed. He's trying to talk to her. It's like, look, you know, if there's anything left of you, and he's saying, Mary Marvel saying, just enough to scream. Mary has new gods. Mary's learned a new word that makes her what she is. And Black Adam's like on fire and is, you know, about to fall, you know, unconscious, and he's going, kill her, kill her. She's saying a blasphemous name of power. Now, the annotation here is thinking that maybe Desaad is the one that is in her, but we really don't know. Which would make sense. So she's, you know, then she starts smacking on him, calls him Freddy, saying, you're hot, want to be bad, dirty magic word like mine. Like, once again, another podcast. We'll skip that part. Then Takitani shows up with a jetpack and a quantum blunderbuss that they confiscated from the professor's son, Savannah's son. I think I misplaced mine. I think I got one of those around here. But anyway, she's like, it's not Mary. Huh?
Your blunderbuss, you misplaced it.
Yes, the quantum blunderbuss. Yeah, hopefully the kids didn't get a hold of it. That would be bad. she's holding him down, and he's like, she'll kill you. She's gone mad. And then the other tigers show up, and we have tiger on tiger violence now. Calibus
right.
Shows up and says she won't have to. Yeah. Is there any
place? I don't care what they say in NAACP. It's tiger and
I think everybody wins at that point. and too bad. And then Kalibak shows up and his dogs are barking. And there's that thing shows up. Okay, so now we switch over to apparently some kind of little holding area, and Justifiers. I think that's what they're calling Justifiers or Justicars. No, Justifiers. I think that's what they were calling. They throw that Nyx Uton guy with the really bad mohawk. It's kind of like a rat tail and a mohawk at the same time. It's just not. I just don't like it. Anyway, So he shows up, and he's been beat up. There's a guy in a wheelchair. And according to the annotation, the speech bubble should show that it's the hooded figure speaking, not the guy in the wheelchair, because it's kind of like pointing off to somebody that's like not there, if you notice that. But anyways, the hooded figure that's saying that.
Point up to the wall.
Yeah, it is. It's, yeah. It makes me wonder that some of those little mistakes like that were because, you know, they had to hurry it up or whatever because it was so late. But anyway, he's the banished monitor. He's thrown into a cell where a wheelchair-bound man with a hooded figure sit. The man in a wheelchair is likely the version of Metron seen in Seven Soldiers, Mr. Miracle. Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know because I had no idea. The hooded figure says, okay, yeah, the speech bubble should be going to that. They're saying we're the ones wired different. They can't, Analife can't affect them, so that's why they've got them there. And the guy in the wheelchair's got a Rubik's Cube. And the guy, hooded figure, saying there's a magical minimum number of moves you can solve a Rubik's Cube with. I bet you never want to know that. They call it the number of God. Nobody ever did it in less than 18. And he says, like, I give a shit. Well, he didn't say that. He says, I give a bunch of symbols. I'm filling in things. He unwraps one of the pages that guy was drawing and shows the symbol that was on the cave that the commandee had. And it shows the Nazi Superman and Supergirl. And then you see a picture of his monitor love interest, Ouija Dell. He remembers that. And then some funky guy with really bad eyebrows shows up. And right about that time, they're going to start whooping up on people. Right about that time, the guy solves the wheelchair solves the Rubik's Cube, and he says 17, and it goes ping. And then the bad guys are like blasted to smithereens.
Like a mother box.
Yeah. Justifiers, that's what they're called. I've seen that.
It's a mother cube, a mother Rubik's Cube.
Yeah, it's a mother box with like 14 X's on the end. Next page. Page 25, panel 1, you see, looks like Jimmy Olsen, I believe.
No, it's the calculator.
Oh, the calculator, that's right. And one of the other tie-ins, they use the Uternet. Coordinate attack strategy against the Lord's birthplace, and they're going to execute him. I think they want it to get past his encryption. Libra's like whispering sweet nothings into Luthor's ear, and he's not liking it. He says, now that we have their best and brightest exactly where we want them, I'm thinking about having you lead the rear guard against the Bloodhaven Brigade, Luthor, and he's got his eyes closed on honor, I'm sure. And Savannah's telling him, don't antagonize him. I value my brain.
It really looks like, yeah, they had a bad touch moment between the two of them.
Yeah, it's like, and then it's like, and then there's this really creepy, ugly comment that says, hey, if you show willing, I might even let you be first in line with Supergirl, and I don't even want to know. I'm sure that's not what Morrison meant when he said that.
I think that's exactly what he meant.
You think that's exactly what he meant? Okay.
Yes.
This is the same guy who did that to Mary Marvel. Come on.
You got a good point.
She's like, hit me. Okay, got it.
Well, right. Yeah, she wasn't in her right mind, though, remember.
But my point is that, yes, that's exactly what Morrison.
Yeah, I thought that was just a little bit over the top, but hey, whatever. This was how many years ago? I can't write any letters to DC about it, so.
It was five years ago.
It was 5 years ago. Okay, so next you see Supergirl, and she's being, this was a time when she was actually nice and not, she was like calling John Stewart Mr. Stewart. She's trying to get through the force field with her heat vision, and he's like, I wish I knew what happened to your big cousin. And, oh, and I didn't see that before. He says, God damn it, what's up with my ring? Wow, that's something. Missed that before. Hasn't been right since I dragged myself out of the hospital bed. And then you see inside they, Makari has failed you, Great One. There's a bunch of the minions are kneeling to Darkseid again, or Darkseid. Which is it, Darkseid or Darkseid?
I always thought it's Side.
Yeah, that's what
I think so.
I think I've heard both, but Darkseid, that's what I'm going to say from here on out. The Batman Psycho Merge killed the clone army those fools tried to build. And I don't remember what issues it was, but they actually show that happening. I think it was one of the Batman issues. And he put the mind in those clones, and all the horrors that he had been through were too much for them, and their brains pretty much made them... They just died. They couldn't handle it. I thought that was a really cool little touch. So anyway, he's punishing them all because they failed, and he's saying, it is over. No living thing can resist me now. All flesh will be Darkseid's body. See, I did it again. You have only ever faced the idea of a god before. Now God is incarnate. Come among them. All is one in Darkseid.
It's an interesting twist on the whole Christian mythology of Jesus. You know, you have a taste of the body of Christ. Well, he's going the other way. He's like, you know what? I'm going to eat you. I'm God. I'm going to go ahead and eat you instead.
See, I would never caught that because I don't think I've ever read but maybe two or three passages of the Bible in my entire life.
No, and I've read about the same amount, but, you know, having gone to a couple of services over the years and then... Mm-hmm. Body of Christ, I think you did.
You know, I think I vaguely remember hearing something about that.
I wouldn't put it past Morrison. I mean, the guy. For all his flaws, he's a very deep guy. So.
Oh, absolutely. Which, you know, that's why some of this stuff is completely nonsensical. So she's flying above Bloodhaven. The last vestiges of Dan Turpin.
Then he took his their iPod headphones. That was uncool.
I know. That was something. she's going, this is terrible, Mr. Stewart. I can see a massive energy source inside the bunker light, and it's a brain sending signals to a gigantic nervous system. And she's like, Mr. Stewart, and I like this little part. She says, I forget not everybody has super hearing. So she's been talking to herself. So you see a bunch of whooping going on, and I think that's, our man says, my God, what was that? And I think that's judo. No, wait, that's Steel over there on to the left in the background. You see Frankenstein. Yeah, Steel.
It was Citizen Steel at that time, I think.
Citizen. You're absolutely right. So about... You see in the background this, like, kind of energy thing, and if you look in the scene with Supergirl where she's saying, I forget not everybody has super hearing, I'm pretty sure that's... Might be Mary Marvel sneaking up behind her because she's got lightning coming out of her. So that's when they smack... You know, they run into each other. And one of the coolest panels of Supergirl I've seen in here is she's... trying to fry her head off, her hair off. Those ponytails were, I didn't like them anyway. She's frying them off and she's like, Mary, there's still time to talk. Next page. You see, John's like, hey, he's like, everything's going to hell. Something bad's coming. He's like, give me some backup. And the Guardians show up. So you are not alone, Lantern John Stewart. Help is on the way. He cannot hear us, one other one says. And, they're using all their power to get through maintain hyperspace velocity. We don't need to fly anymore. We can just use a free fall. So there's more than one lantern, and they're not all lanterns from Earth. And then you see apparently the president talking about they found the bunker.
Ready for time distortion!
Yeah.
Right.
I missed that part. Sorry about that.
Worst line in the book. So you can skip it. I had to say it though.
Okay. So John's about to lose all the power in his ring. And then you see, you see a little panel with the Justifiers are coming up on him, on John Stewart. You see, I believe that's supposed to be the president.
Yep.
Yeah, it says Mr. President.
Yeah, that's the president at the time.
Apparently, he looks like he's about to kill himself. And then, bam, he's here. The fifth world of Darkseid has begun. The night of anguish that lasts forever. That's Libra saying that. Pardon me. See a black panel that says, I am the new god. Which I think that's something Justin Bieber says every morning when he gets up, but I could be wrong. Anyway, I don't know where that came from. Never mind. And then his eyes glow. All is one in Darkseid. The mighty body is my church. When I command your surrender, I speak with 3 billion voices. And let's see. And then you see the this kind of like will show up on a cover of the next issue, I think. He's got his hand with the mega symbol on the back of it up against his where his you can't see his nose and his mouth. And saying, well, I make a fist to crush your resistance. It is with 3 billion hands. And then you see like a whole field of people doing the same thing. When I stare into your eyes and shatter your dreams and break your heart. And then everybody says, it's with 6 billion eyes. Nothing like Darkseid has ever come among you. Nothing will again. I will take you to a hell without exit or end. And there I will murder your souls. And everybody's really happy about that. And they're saying, make you crawl and beg and die. Die for Darkseid. And then you see the Rubik's Cube.
How hard is it that Rubik's Cube to solve? It's all one color.
Yeah, I know.
What? Oh, I can solve that one.
What?
Oh, it's not.
Not the one I'm looking at. One side's yellow, one side's red. You gotta...
It's coloring then. Never mind. It looks all red to me.
Yeah. And then you see some of
the trade? Are you reading in the trade?
No.
Okay. You reading the issue?
No.
No. We'll just let that go.
Okie dokie. You're reading the something.
I'm reading the something, yes.
Yeah, I've got a something too, but I had several copies of the something on my computer, so
actually mine's a something something.
Okay, well alright then. Then you see some Kirby dots around a speech balloon saying something new is born, the fifth world dawns in flame and thunder. And some of those designs that guy did was kinda cool looking. But anyway, the judge of all evil is here, and I think it's that next Utan guy, and he's got this really funky thing around his head, and according to this, it says, the annotation says, Nix Utan is transported into something else, bonding with the Rubik's Cube mother box and being able to view events that are happening around him, kind of like a monitor, and that's how it ends.
Now, that costume looks familiar for some reason.
Yeah, it does. I was just thinking that. I'm not sure where I've seen it before.
Black Canary was wearing something like that once upon a time.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Wasn't the blue something or other Marvel Universe? I want to say like Blue Wonder or Blue Thunder. I don't know.
I don't know, but that really does look familiar. A kind of Static comes to mind too.
Yeah,
it's kind of Static vibe too.
So anyway, there we are, a little bit over an hour, and we have covered it.
One issue.
I really like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I like this issue too.
And I don't remember. I did not remember a bit of it until I read it again.
It's clear to me that there is no editor on this book.
Well, it's Eddie Berganza, according to this.
He took the day off. I'm 100%.
Was it the
number of errors? The number of just Morrison just writing whatever the heck he wants dialogue wise. Mm-hmm. That no one was saying hey.
But
you know,
hasn't that kind of been the vibe that we've been getting from especially Didio for the years? That whatever the hell he wants to do, just let him do it. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's exactly what happened. It's like, I don't need to edit it. Let's just print it. You know? I would not be surprised at all. Now, I'm gonna have to get the trade and get my issues out, too, and look and see what has been corrected, if any. Because it seems like that comment was made at one point on something I read, but I could be wrong.
Okay. Well, anyhow.
So there you go. Final Crisis, number 5.
It's for me, it's coming off the wheels. Sorry, the wheels are coming off the tracks.
Oh, it's coming off the tracks, you say?
Yes, I did. But,
I don't know. I just thought it was kind of fun. Even if you... I could, like, stop here and be fine.
Perhaps you should.
I don't know. But yeah, I want to read. I'd like to get one of those other links that I found that has all this stuff and go through the whole entire thing in the reading order that they put out for it and see how, if it makes any more sense. You know what I mean?
Good luck with that. You let me know how that works out for you. I'll be sitting over here in same land.
Oh, now, come on. Now, question. And we can put this out to the listeners, which they don't ever answer, but...
Renee Montoya.
Well, true.
You said question.
What I was going to bring up was they put the Final Crisis on sale for the Villains Month stuff, and one of the ones that they included in it was the two Superman issues. Do we want to go through those? Listeners, what do you think about that? Because I actually enjoyed those, even though they were confusing as hell.
They're probably good, but I want to see how Final Crisis stands up just reading the 7 issues.
Okay, we can do that.
So I'm going to see, if you guys want to read it, go for it. But I want to see, for me, whether those 7 issues are forming a complete story that hangs together.
I think the biggest problem would be is how all that stuff happens in that Superman 2 issue, the 3 Superman 3D thing, and then he just I don't remember if he comes up at 6, but he just shows up in 7, and there's all this stuff being said that all ties into that 2 issue series.
He's probably in 6. 6 is a very Supermanish issue, but we'll have to deal with that in any later discussion.
All right, let's get this wrapped up since we got people that are on a time frame here. Who knows when I'll get a call to fix something that doesn't need to be fixed. Like I did this morning. We'll get into that.
Great picture on Facebook by the way.
Say what now?
Your Facebook picture. Awesome.
You like that, did you? Well, yeah. That was not a fake face at all. I was that upset this morning. So anyway, as always, you can send us an email. You send us an email at podcast@talesfromalongbox.com, or you can join us on the Facebook page. Let us know what you think, or you can comment on the actual episodes. On the actual website. That's pretty much it. Let us know what you think. Give us a holler. Tell us, you got another series you want us to tackle, like maybe Crisis on Infinite Earths or something like that? I think that would be fun since I have the big Absolute Edition with all the, things and stuff. But anyway, that's it for this week. I'm just all over the place. I'm hyped up on caffeine and very little sleep.
You go, boy.
Yes, I think I will.
All right, you guys have a good afternoon.
All right, you have a good afternoon, too.
You, too. We'll catch you later.
All right, catch you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye, and we're out.